Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oh, boy.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Dada.
All right, so the next thing here, I'm gonna save the Luka thing for the end of the show, just because it's the kind of thing that I'm gonna be bringing up on a different episode later anyway. But I want to talk about this Kawhi Leonard thing, where again, this is. There are a few dominoes that obviously need to fall before we start talking about Kawhi Leonard's future and all of this. But according to some reports I've seen out there, and I think The Athletic was on it first. I know Tom Haberstroh also was talking about it as well. But the last time we saw a team get hit for cap circumvention, that contract was nullified, and that player, Joe Smith, became a free agent. In this case, you know, again, there are a few steps, very important steps that would need to happen before we get to this moment. But, you know, you could be looking at a situation where Kawhi Leonard becomes a free agent. And that would be really interesting because now, if Kawhi Leonard's contract is nullified and he becomes a free agent that way, he loses a bunch of money. So he's probably going to be looking, just given the way that we know Kawhi is kind of wired now, he's going to be looking to get every penny that he can possibly get. So I would actually probably say that like Brooklyn would stand to benefit the most from Kawhi Leonard's contract being nullified. But let's say it gets nullified and Kawhi is allowed to keep his money as well, you know, where basically the league forces the Clippers to just eat that contract and waive Kawhi Leonard, which honestly would be kind of the outcome I'd be rooting for, to be honest. Because it, like, the one thing I don't want to have happen here is the Clippers to like luck out of the kind of tough contract that they had to sign Kawhi to. But let's say the league basically forces the Clippers to eat the contract. Kawhi gets to keep his money and he becomes a free agent. We know that he wanted to be in LA. We know that the Lakers were very much in the running. They thought they had him back when he was a free agent the first time around. And he probably also really wants to win a bleeping championship. And if he signs with the Lakers on the minimum and he joins Luka and he joins LeBron and he joins whatever other team or whatever other players are still on the Lakers after whatever trade rumors and stuff like that. Like, that's a pretty good situation that he could maybe win himself a championship in. My one thing here is, and I kind of wonder, because the league, I was thinking about this the other day. The league basically said that if the, like, they never fully closed their investigation. They said that if they find any more wrongdoing or if they hear any more wrongdoing, that they would reopen their investigation back into 2019 as well. And if it turns out that Kawhi Leonard, and more specifically here, Uncle Dennis, went team by team by team and played team against each other and tried to get all these other extra, you know, like benefits that exceed what is allowed teams to offer, what teams are allowed to offer, you know, in this cap structure. if Uncle Dennis was doing all of these things, I think he or Kawhi probably also deserve to a bit of a hit here, because, like, okay, you want to say, like, Kawhi, you know, didn't know anything about this, and he was just given $28 million or potentially as much as $50 million or $48 million had Aspiration LLC not gone under. But like, at no point you ask any questions about why you're getting $28 million to do nothing. No moment there where you're like, this is a little shady. It's kind of like finding a bag of cash in Miami. You probably want to leave that one alone, right? Like, you probably, that cash probably is not going to, it might be fun for like 15 minutes. But then when somebody who actually should have gotten that bag of cash finds out you have their bag of cash, you're like, well, but in this case here, like, if Kawhi Leonard's camp was, and by the way, like, this happens all the time, players do ask, you know, for some, you know, some benefits that exist outside of CBA and cap structures. That's not unheard of elsewhere around the league. So I'm not gonna like, you know, clutch my pearls here and say, you know, nobody else does this. No, that's not true. But the fact that you had the Toronto Raptors kind of blush and say, like, yeah, he was asking a lot, and that the Lakers, right, they also blushed and they were like, that's kind of crazy what he was asking for. And then if it turns out that Uncle Dennis, like, because one of my, like, joking theories that I think I said it on the show with Pete last week, was that part of the reason I thought that KL2 Aspire was the LLC name that they wrote down there was literally just to organize all of the shady deals that Ballmer lined up for Kawhi Leonard and Uncle Dennis and everybody there to keep Kawhi in LA. And if that winds up being the case, you can't just claim, sorry, everybody. Like, at that point, if you're fielding those shady offers in the way that Uncle Dennis seems to have, fielded all of these shady offers over the years, like, at some point, somebody from Kawhi's camp should probably, feel a little bit of a knock there too. So in that sense, you know, nullifying Kawhi's contract does make some sense there from a league perspective of, like, this contract was signed under illegal presumptions and illegal extra CBA offerings and stuff like that. I don't think you should keep this contract. I actually think that's probably a fairly fair result here too. I also kind of wonder if the league is going to start kind of keeping a closer eye on the other Uncle Dennis's around the NBA, because, you know, some of those relationships do get a little foggy. And look, there are plenty of players out there who have had Uncle Dennis's who just steer them in the wrong directions and actually cost them a lot of money. So it might be in, like, the players union might be okay with some of that stuff. If the league does go after some of those relationships that players have with, you know, business managers who aren't legal agents and stuff like that, maybe that's something that the league takes a closer look at as a result of all this as well. But yeah, the Kawhi getting his contract nullified and becoming a free agent thing is interesting. I think we would have to learn a lot more than we know right now before we get to that point. And this investigation, like, as I've been talking about, I do think it's really important that this investigation is legit and that is very, very thorough. And I think it's also important that this investigation produces something, right? If we walk away from all of this and the league goes, like, sorry, everybody, we just couldn't find anything again, I would kind of roll my eyes a little bit. And at that point, I think they would unleash the Wild West unto itself. And we would see how that turns out for these other teams that don't have the sponsorship relationships that the Lakers do. But yeah, I would say that if this investigation is conducted and they find some stuff, as I said yesterday, I think they should look back into all of the Clippers dealings. And I think they should look back into all of Kawhi Leonard's dealings and all of what Uncle Dennis, requested of teams to make the Lakers and Raptors kind of scratch their heads at and wonder what the Clippers actually agreed to. So we'll see what comes of it. But Kawhi's contract being nullified and him becoming a free agent, that's the kind of thing that decides who wins championships. That kind of happenstance that close to the season would really kind of go a long way of kind of, you know, whatever team has clean enough books, whatever contender has clean enough books to add Kawhi Leonard into the mix, like that's who wins next year's championship. All right, let's talk about Luka, because I had somebody get kind of upset with me because I said to Iztok Franco in a tweet that anytime the best player in the world gets knocked out of a tournament, it improves the chances of everybody else to win said championship. So I had at least one person say, like, well, why is that? Why do we just assume that is Jokic? And it's like, because it is. But just because Jokic either was the best player in the league last year or is currently the best player in the world right now, that doesn't mean that, like, Luka is plenty talented to jump up and grab that spot away from Jokic. Because I think in some order, the top four players in the league are Jokic, Luka, Giannis, and Shea, right? I would say those are the top four players. If you want to throw Anthony Edwards in there as well, you can. I personally would say that the best three players, you know, that belong in that tier are Jokic, Luka, and Giannis. Me personally, that's how I would, especially with Luka being in shape, I would say that that's the top tier there. And then the next tier is like Shea and Anthony Edwards. And then you can kind of go from there.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/RS10. The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And when you get to, you know, when you're in a tier with Jokic and when you're in a tier with Giannis, and you can viably be a part of that conversation, you kind of start splitting hairs as far as like who gets ranked where in that group. And, you know, like it, again, I'm going to expand on this conversation in a later episode, but I do want to talk today about like the things that would have to happen for that to be the case, for Luka to leapfrog those guys. To me, it starts not even on the defensive side, because it's not like the only guy that you would say in that group that is an absolute impact defender, defensive player of the year capable type of presence is Giannis, right? And there's nothing that Luka or Jokic could possibly do to enter that conversation on that side of the ball with Giannis. Same can be said on the other side of the ball, though, where there's nothing that Giannis can realistically do to enter the conversation of the impact that Jokic or Luka can make on offense for their team on any given play. And so like, to me, if I'm talking about like what it would look like for Luka to leapfrog those guys or leapfrog Jokic and become the best player in the league, it actually starts with what he does without the basketball on offense. And him impacting the game without the basketball on offense, because that's the thing that makes Steph such a headache to deal with over the course of a series or when he has it going, is like at no moment can Steph Curry be on the aggressive side of half court. You can never like not know where Steph is. And more importantly, Steph is like constantly moving around and cutting and floating and coming off of screens and doing all of these things that make him impossible to keep track of. So all while you're, and this is what made those Kevin Durant Warriors impossible to guard, while you have so much of your defense dedicated to making sure Steph doesn't come off of the screen with like half a second too much space, you're also dedicating a whole bunch of resources defensively to Kevin bleeping Durant in isolation on the other side of the court. And that just absolutely wreaked havoc on what teams were able to do defensively against those Warrior teams. Now you watch like James Harden and you watch Luka, unfortunately, sometimes too, and you watch some of these other guys who are these ball dominant presences who do like wreck worlds when they have the basketball. But if they don't have the basketball, they just kind of float and they aren't as impactful. One of the things that I think has really extended LeBron's career and made him an impactful player now into his 40s is that like he does occasionally set the screen, you know, a good hard ball screen for Austin that allows him to catch the ball in the short roll and wreak havoc on offenses that way. The fact that he and Anthony Davis were running horn sets with Austin at the top and everything that came out of that stuff was just impossible for teams to deal with as well. Like it's really like there are moments obviously where LeBron does load manage on offense, and he also, you know, does load manage defensively as well sometimes, but like you look, I never watched LeBron in the half court and get frustrated at him just like not being involved at all, in the same ways that I have been frustrated watching James Harden's career. And I have been frustrated watching Luka Doncic's career at various points. But if Luka figures out a way to be impactful without the basketball, whether it's as a better spot up shooter, something I've heard that he's focused on this offseason, whether it's as a screener, either on or off ball. No matter what it is, like if Luka becomes a player that teams fear, even when he doesn't have the basketball, that is an entirely new dynamic to his game that makes him absolutely impossible to deal with. So that's the first thing that I'm going to be looking for in this hypothetical where Luka becomes the best player in the NBA. Second part is like, this is where we do got to talk about the defense. And again, I'm not asking him to become Giannis or Anthony Davis or any of these guys. Like he's not that kind of an athlete. But the one thing that Jokic has figured out a way to do at this stage of his career, and it helps that Jokic is a little bit bigger, but Jokic, because of his understanding of what he looks to do offensively, he's put that understanding of the game to work defensively. And now basically, you know, gums up offenses by, you know, standing there in the middle of them and making some of those passes that all offenses need to make in order to operate at their highest levels. And with Luka, like, especially let's say the Lakers do go out and somehow get an Andrew Wiggins, and you have like Austin become, and let alone if you have Wiggins and Smart and LeBron and Ayton out there as a unit, like now all of a sudden you have two absolute dogs on the perimeter in Wiggins and Smart to get after it there. You have LeBron, who when he is fully engaged is also an impact defender. You have somebody who can clean up some messes there in DeAndre Ayton. Like if you're Luka, all you got to do is don't be a disaster, right? Or even better, gum up those offenses in some of the same ways that that Jokic does. Some of the passes that he would be kind of gumming up are different ones from the types of passes that Jokic kind of gums up. But like those are some of the things that if you watch, you know, teams play against Denver, you know, Jokic really isn't the damaging force that he was in prior years. And that is a big part of why I consider him personally the best player in the NBA. But we'll get more into the weeds, and maybe this will be a good Raj conversation. But like to me, those are the two kind of macro level things that Luka needs to improve on if he's going to do that. And then as far as like what that would mean for the Lakers, if Luka becomes the best player in the NBA, I mean, championship. I'm being straight up. If Luka Doncic is the best player in the NBA, you know, viably the best player in the NBA, wins MVP, is the best player going into every series that the Lakers go into, and now all of a sudden LeBron is the out and out, you know, the outright second best player there. Austin gets slotted in as the third best player there, and you have a supporting cast of DeAndre Ayton, Rui Hachimura, and maybe a couple other role players that the Lakers stack over the course of the season as well. Like that's a champion. That's how championship rosters kind of come together in the second season that they have a superstar. So yeah, as far as like what's on the line, you're talking about the 18th ring, and boy, like I'm getting pumped thinking about it. And I do think it is like legitimately something that could happen this season. I'm not sitting here like when I saw those comments there, I wasn't dismissing them, you know, outright. I do think he's talented. Luka is talented enough to be the best player in the NBA. 100% believe it. There are some shifts that always needed to happen in terms of his approach to the sport and his approach to being a professional. And I think there's also some tweaks that needed to happen for him to be to consistently rank up there with those guys. But he's absolutely, look at what he's doing in Eurobasket right now. I think he's scoring like 38% of his team's points. That's unheard of. That's higher than any ratio that Michael Jordan ever had. And not to say that he needs to do that with the Lakers. He's playing on a team with some pretty good scorers, But if he's capable of like carrying this performance from Eurobasket into this upcoming season, and he does legitimately become, you know, a player who wins MVP over a Nikola Jokic or over a Giannis Antetokounmpo or over a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or over an Anthony Edwards, then the Lakers are a legitimate, bona fide championship contender. And that's something we all should be rooting for. All right. I am going to scroll through here and see what's, you know, if you guys had any questions over the course of the show, and I'm not really seeing any. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and end this thing here. My son has also been banging on the office door, so I probably should make sure that he is alive and healthy and all of those things. So until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Hit that like and subscribe button, all of those good things. And please, Vikings, don't embarrass me tonight. Please.